We welcome you this morning to our annual This I Believe service, and where we invite four graduating seniors to offer reflections on their spiritual journeys while here at BU. Our first this morning, Charlotte Saul, is graduating summa cum laude with a Bachelor of Arts degree in English with honors and a minor in French from the College of Arts and Sciences. Charlotte has been a Martin Luther King Jr. scholar at Boston University and has sung with the Marsh Chapel Choir for all 4 years of her undergraduate study. Next year, she will be pursuing a Master of Philosophy in English at the University of Cambridge in England. Charlotte?
In my last 2 years of school, I was a classroom assistant for preschool religion at my parish in Western New York. My favorite activity was always reading time. Without fail, regardless of the question asked, the answer received was always, Jesus. Who was Mary's husband? Jesus! Even the yes-no question would receive this passionate cry. The answer was always an emphatic Jesus. These little Jesus-loving tots reminded me of my own childhood in the church. I grew up in a large church family, surrounded by inspiring models of faith and strength. That being said, I was the 8-year-old acolyte who burnt her hair when torching, the 3-year-old angel who rode around on a sheep during the nativity play, and the 6-year-old chorister who would sing meow during hymns. Silly moments aside, my mother always reminded me of my creator. I was fearfully impressed by that image of magnificence and strength. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do, we would sing. As I grew, God felt less big, less inspiring. In short, I was not spared the angst of adolescence. Jesus, who had always been my answer with an exclamation point, became my only question. How do they expect me to believe this? Like most, I shuffled through high school, living a life of imposed cliches. How remarkably easy it is to find identity when the world pushes you into categories. I started to see what other people saw when they looked at me, and I couldn't recognize that shape. When Marsh Chapel and the Howard Thurman Center became my new homes, introspection and worship quietly became the centerpieces of my life here at Boston University. As I sought conversations and relationships with people across this campus, as I felt increasingly connected intellectually and socially, I found myself coming back to Christ spiritually. Somewhere in these past 4 years, I realized that while the world is never going to pat me on the back and hand me meaning, I could certainly make my life meaningful. Today, when the choir sings and the dean speaks, when my heart soars and tears roll down my cheek, when I receive the gift of grace through Eucharistic communion and the gift of forgiveness in friendship, I'm so happy to find Jesus by my side, right where he has been the whole time. Sometimes the comfort of faith leads me into thinking I'm unbreakable and then snap. It takes so little to remind me of my own fragility and of life's fragility. There have been days during my undergraduate years, those dark moments that we have spent together, where Jesus has been my question without answer, days I just cannot hear his voice. But with word, music, and embrace, you, Dean Hill, the choir, and the congregation, you remind me that light and bright goodness is the answer. Jesus is and always will be the answer. My simple answer for a simple question, what do you believe?
Thank you.
Jenny Hardy is graduating with a Master of Fine Arts in Film from the College of Communication, where she's also served as a teaching assistant in film studies. Our prayers are with her as she is on the market for a faculty position in her field. Jenny?
The decision to come to Boston University for grad school was made almost entirely on faith. Packing up my little car and driving across the country was the easy part. When I arrived, I felt alone and far away. This was coupled by an email I received in my second week of classes from BU Today with the subject, Why We're Afraid of Mormons. As a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, popularly termed the Mormons, I was surprised by this headline. I discovered that I was further from home than I thought, and people were apparently afraid of me. That article in BU Today was actually about unjust prejudices against my religion, which I appreciate, but I was still nervous about how I would be accepted by my faculty and peers. I found myself repeatedly asking, why am I here? I would like to say that I learned exactly why I was here within a few days or even weeks of arriving. But it has admittedly taken longer, and the process is not complete. Though I can't always see where or why I am going in a particular direction on life's path, I have learned during my time here that God knows where I am going, and I simply need to trust Him. I have received glimpses of meaning along the way. I have seen so much good on this campus and in this city. New friends have sought for understanding and support of my religion with love and kindness. A professor taught me more about life than the subject at hand. Fellow students were willing to discuss feelings and beliefs. I found family amongst strangers. I can look back now and see that I was supposed to meet the people that I have met, learn the things I learned, both in and out of school, and experience the successes and failures I experienced. A hymn comes to mind. Lead, kindly light, amidst the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. The night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. The one step I took in coming to Boston has been rewarded with seeing and feeling that kindly light more than ever, often through the love of my fellow students and professors, those who share my beliefs and those who don't. I came to Boston University not knowing what it had in store, and I leave now knowing that taking that leap was worth it. Life is a series of acts of faith, and sometimes God wants us to pack up our cars and drive into some future unknown to us with the attitude that what lies ahead is better than what is left behind. And I can say now, after my experience at Boston University, that this is true.
Robert Lucchese is graduating with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Theater Arts Performance from the College of Fine Arts with a minor in Religion from the College of Arts and Sciences. Robbie has served as a Marsh Associate on the ministry staff here at Marsh Chapel for the past 2 years and will serve for the next year as a campus minister at St. Martin de Porres High School in Cleveland, Ohio through the Jesuit Volunteer Corps.
My freshman year, John Lipsky, who developed most of the curriculum for the freshman theater performance majors and made collaboration and ensemble the hallmark of the Boston University School of Theater program, passed away. One of the programs he instituted was called Locals, which was 2 hours every Monday where we freshmen held the room with some of our professors and could do whatever we wanted. Act, sing, dance, tell stories, show off hidden talents, try something new, etc. It was a safe space that allowed us to take risks with one another, and in that space, we grew from 40 18 to 19 year old overly eager theater kids into an ensemble of creators who cared deeply about the stories that we were putting into the world. John Lipsky joined us for most of the locals' first semester, but by second semester, he was unable to come to the College of Fine Arts anymore and died in March of 2011. We were blessed that he was able to join us for at least the beginning of our journey at BU, and to this day, memorialize him with a yearly school-wide locals that we call Lipsky Locals. It occurred earlier last week. He left behind lots of books in his office, mostly plays, and a book sale was held. As I was rifling through his books, I realized that in addition to plays, he had an extensive collection of books relating to anthropology, psychology, sociology, and religion. I was intrigued by one book in particular, which I purchased, The Varieties of Religious Experience by William James. I was raised Catholic and was always actively involved in campus ministry in high school, but I had never linked my identity as a theater artist to my identity as a Christian. I would later find out that John Lipsky himself was deeply spiritual and particularly interested in Jewish mysticism and Eastern religions. I began to be more conscious of the ways in which my faith and artistic life fit together. I began to see parallels, especially with worship, in how we come together to witness a story, a narrative. The Gospel according to John begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Greek word for word is logos, which can also be translated as story. In the beginning was the story, and the story was with God, and the story was God. This realization helped put into context my massive vocational shift that began to occur my sophomore year towards a life in ministry, telling stories and enabling others to tell their stories, and that's what brought me here to Marsh Chapel. Lipsky, in his book Dreaming Together, says, "Theater is an act of collaboration between actors and actors, actors and directors, actors and audience. It's a communal event. When we come together in the theater, especially for something like locals, we come together to worship and to reconnect with our primal impulse to tell a story with God. And that story, for me, is God."
Brian Sermon is graduating with a Doctor of Philosophy in American and New England Studies from the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences. He holds bachelor's and master's degrees from Boston University and has worked in residence life and the writing program. Our prayers are with Brian as he is on the market as well for a faculty position in his field.
Architect Ralph Adams Cram designed Boston University's campus in a Gothic Revival style. Cram was deliberate in choosing an aesthetic that had its origins in the great cathedrals of Europe, for he hoped to symbolize what he saw as an inviolable connection between higher education and religion. A university, he once claimed, should be half college, half monastery. Now, I won't say that my own experience as a student has been entirely monastic. However, like Cram, I've discovered an intrinsic connection between my academic growth and my religious awakening. And the scholarly path I've traveled these past 6 years has also been a spiritual one. Now, there are many threads in this connection, but today I want to focus on just two: faith and humility. Throughout my doctoral studies, I doubted time and again my ability to surmount the obstacles before me. There was coursework far more rigorous than any I'd encountered before, then a language exam, a major research paper, 452 books to read in preparation for qualifying exams, and finally, every doctoral student's Mount Everest, a dissertation. There were personal setbacks as well. I was diagnosed with HIV and hospitalized twice. I lost a best friend, and just last month, my grandmother unexpectedly passed away. All of these hurdles, academic and personal, tested and ultimately intensified my faith, faith in the power and grace of God to provide guidance when I am lost and strength when I am low, faith in the honest purposes of others to care about me and help me through adversity, and faith in my own abilities to persevere and succeed no matter what the challenge. Humility, meanwhile, is a virtue as seemingly rare in graduate school as it is in the Kardashian household. We grad students are forever posturing and preening, eager to show off our smarts. But as we build up our egos in this way, we wall ourselves off from the ideas and advice of others, believing, or at least pretending, that our own knowledge is superior. Such a haughty attitude is, of course, inimical to education. And it was only when I humbled myself that my mind opened up and learning became possible. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. I first read that proverb many years ago, but it was only in graduate school that I came to understand its meaning. One consequence of humility is gratitude. Despite the fulsome praise that commencement speakers will heap on graduates during the next week, I recognize that, for me at least, this accomplishment is not mine alone. Without the unflagging support of my family, friends, and professors, and without divine guidance and strength, I could not have succeeded in this pursuit. In sum, this I believe: abiding faith and humility brought me through graduate school, and by never forgetting the spiritual lessons I've learned during the past 6 years, I know that I will be able to face with confidence whatever the future may hold.